Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor, supporting the accountant community. This is Tax Prep Partners To Go, a monthly podcast program with the CPA Technology Advisor's own executive editor, Darren Root, and President and CEO of SurePrep, David Weil, both credentialed CPA CITPs. Listen to Darren and Dave as they explore advanced processes and solutions for tax preparation practices utilizing today's advanced tax document automation technologies.
This is Darren Root, Executive Editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to Episode 5 of Tax Prep Partner To Go. I'm here with my regular co-host, Dave Weil. Dave is the CEO of SurePrep. So welcome today, Dave.
Hi, Darren.
Hey, sounds like you've been working hard this summer, trade shows, getting people oriented to SurePrep and all the things you guys are doing. So what's been going on?
Well, as you said, summer's a great time to go out and work with firms because it's really the best time for firms to implement solutions. You know, implementing a solution for the first time in February is, a little too time compressed, so the summer is a great time to implement solutions and get processes established so that you go into tax season with confidence. So, yeah, we've been busy talking about the solutions we offer to accounting firms and helping them get up and running.
You know, Dave, I was just, before we got started here, I was telling you I was in Chicago this week at the Illinois Trade Show, and then I led a conference yesterday in Chicago for a whole day and talked to another 60 accounting firms or so, and it still seems to completely amaze me at how many practitioners out there have not engaged yet with this whole concept of scan, organize, and even looking at what populate means. Are you still seeing that the profession as a whole, although I think it's probably one of the fastest growing areas right now, has not completely engaged yet, and that just baffles me?
Yeah, I was just at a conference actually earlier this week, and I talked to one firm who does back-end scanning, so they do everything on paper and then they scan on the back-end, and then they proceeded to tell me about how time-consuming it is when they need to reference numbers on the tax return to source document pages, and then they get new pages and have to renumber the pages and redo the references, and all problems that can be solved by going to a front-end paperless system. And
yeah.
I actually had one firm that said that they looked at the scan and populate solution just to automate data entry, but not to go pay. They were going to scan it, but still do everything paperless, and just hope to get automated data entry out of it. Which, of course, they're missing half of the benefit or more by not, going to that front end scanning solution.
It still surprises me how many firms just don't quite understand what's possible today in the whole scanning and organizing area. So, one of the things that the thing I want to talk about today, Dave, is sort of change management in general, which I think we can lead right into that. And there's so many small business owners today or practitioners. A lot of us are guys still, and there's a lot of females in the marketplace. But as a guy, we like to just buy something and just think we can make it work without reading instructions. I don't know if you're like that, but I certainly am.
Unfortunately, guilty as charged.
Yeah, and I end up with extra parts, and then I have to redo everything, and
right.
It's kind of a mess. I think a lot of us buy software or engage with software in kind of the same mode. We think we bought an application or we're using software as a service, and you should not have to do anything else besides use it. And I find that to be really far from the truth. What's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, when people buy a software package, they too often just focus on the quality of the solution. Is this software great? Does it do all the things I need? But if they don't implement that solution properly, then they're not going to get the results they want. And in fact, not a lot of people know this. In fact, I didn't until I worked with some of our larger clients that have really good implementation methodologies. But change management is actually a discipline, and they have a formula that goes along with it, and it goes like this, that the results you get from a solution are equal to the quality of that solution times its acceptance, meaning how well the people in your accounting firm accept it. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, what that means is that gaining the acceptance of the change, you know, i.e. implementing it in a way that people will actually use the software and use it properly, is just as important as whether the software is good or not, because, you know, you can have great software, and if people don't accept it and don't use it, the results are zero.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I mean, I have to completely agree with that because, you know, one of the things I tell my staff members in my firm, you know, we have portal solutions where we can put tax returns and financial statements and things like that. But if we don't bother to have a strategy to tell our clients about it, then it's really not a solution at all. If nobody's using it, then there's no reason for us to even have it.
And it's not a simple matter because a lot of times these changes are, you know, they're fairly major changes that require members of a firm to, you know, certainly modify and maybe even radically alter their behaviors. So it's not an easy thing to accomplish, and that needs to be acknowledged so that it's really addressed in a very serious way.
Well, I don't want our listeners to think that implementing a new solution is overly complicated, because I don't think that that's necessarily the case. But if you enter a new solution without thinking about its implications and how you're going to, you know, implement it in your organization, I think you're pretty remiss in putting the new solution in to start with, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And it's not too complicated, but it just takes, well, there's several steps involved in a change management process. And, you know, a lot of these things, you know, as you talk about them, you say, yeah, you know, I do that, but it makes sense to kind of analyze these various steps because, you know, the whole process is aimed at driving acceptance, which maximizes results and reduces your risks in implementing the solution. And so, you know, there's several steps, and I thought maybe it would be interesting we could go through these steps, and these are steps I've seen our clients do, and, you know, we can see how some firms have really done excellent jobs implementing their solutions, and, you know, in some of these firms to very large numbers of users, which of course increases the complexity.
And in your in SurePrep, your application, you know, oftentimes you're going into pretty good sized firms. I mean, you go across the whole marketplace.
We go across the gamut, including national firms with literally dozens of offices. And in doing that, you know, we've seen the stepped approach taken. And it kind of goes like this. You know, the first thing we see is that they identify the change, meaning, you know, what is the current state of things, and what is my desired state of things after the change. And so what's the difference? I need to get from point A to point B.
Right.
So that's, you know, really, you know, the first step. And then the second step is, you know, to prepare for the change. And in fact, you know, with SurePrep, many of the points I'm about to say are actually in our contract with the customer. So, for instance, when you prepare for the change, you have to identify who the sponsor is, meaning who at the top level is saying, I want this done. And, you know, that should be the partners. And there should be, you know, at least, you know, a partner that really has responsibility over this. And in our contract, we say, you're going to appoint a sponsor. You know, who is it? Because we feel it's that important. Another thing when you prepare for it is, you know, who will be the change agent? Who will drive that change? And we call that the champion at SurePrep. So, you know, usually someone under a partner, maybe a manager, a senior, you know, who is the partner that's going to drive that change? I mean, the manager or staff person that's going to drive that change. And that, you know, is equally important. And then finally, of course, who's the target? Who do we want to use the solution and adopt this change, and, you know, generally the people. So identifying all of those groups would be really, you know, kind of the second part in this change.
So I mean, kind of what I heard you say is, you know, and Stephen Covey talks about this in you know, in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which is habit number two, which is begin with the end in mind. So if you have a desired result you want to get, visualize that, understand what it is that you, where you are today and then where you want to be. So great first step is identify that, then have a sponsor, you know, somebody with enough clout in the organization to make sure that this gets pushed through. And that person may be different than the actual champion in the practice, somebody who's actually going to be the go-to person that's actually going to drive the process.
Absolutely.
And then figure out the targeted what was your last point?
The targeted. Who are you, you know, whose behavior are you trying to change? Who are you trying to get acceptance from?
Okay.
And, you know, typically the staff, right? It might be everybody, the staff, the partners, and so on. So, you know, that, you know, needs to be identified. And then you go to the third step, which is you plan the change.
So that's a great, great four-step process, I think. How important do you think it is to do the detailed planning up front in managing, in order to manage change?
You know, it's incredibly important because otherwise, you know, you're just kind of steering without directions. And so, you know, having an implementation planning session, meeting and, you know, planning out these things, you know, who's going to be the sponsor, who's going to be the champion, what is the end game where we want to get to, how are we going to get there, if you don't do that. And once again, I mean, I don't want to make it overly complex. We're talking about, you know, a half-day meeting.
Yeah.
But that the results of your investment are depending on that.
Yeah. What kind of obstacles do you typically see partners running into when they start, you know, promoting some sort of change? You deal with a lot of partners. What do you see roadblocks are for them?
Well, there's a natural desire or tendency to avoid change, to, you know, stay with what you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's really the big challenge. And so the question is, how do you overcome that? Right?
Yeah.
And there's several ways that that's done. One, you have to communicate to everybody, and especially to the target.
Yeah.
What this changes? Why are you doing it? You know, and in fact,
communication has to be key, doesn't it?
Pardon me?
I said that communication has to be key.
It has to be key. And in fact, we see in some of our clients that they come with a bullet point of five key benefits for the firm and or, you know, the firm's employees or clients as to why they're doing this change. And they come up with literally a 30-second elevator speech.
Yeah.
And they require every partner to know it, to memorize it, so that when someone comes and says, why are we doing this? You know, they can...
Right.
They can, you know, rattle off the reasons why.
Because with anything, there's going to be a couple of pain points along the way. Because pain comes with change sometimes. Because it's just you're trying to reach a different normal, and in that shift, you know, there will be a little obstacles, and so you have to probably be able to refer back to that elevator speech, which is, yeah, I understand that there's a little bit of change involved here, but here's what our goal is. Here's what we're after.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, that's the communication is really the first step to overcoming that change. Another step is, of course, training, you know, learning.
Yeah.
So you want to help people. You know, I might, I actually just got a Mac for my house, an iMac. And I've never used a Mac. I normally use Windows. I was a little intimidated the first time I sat down. But the more I learn, you know, the more comfortable I get.
So,
learning will help overcome that obstacle of change.
You know, that's a great example because, you know, I started out Mac, and then I became completely PC-based for years, and now I live in both worlds. I travel with Macs, have Macs at home and all that kind of stuff, but I can remember when I first put that in the house and got my first laptop, I'm thinking, oh, what did I do this for? Because, you know, I know where to go on my PC. Now
right.
I wouldn't give my Mac up for anything in the world. But, you know, you got that there's just that one period which is, gosh, I knew where this was. when I had my PC, right?
Right.
You know, one question that I always get when I'm out talking to partners is, gosh, I got this partner in the office, and he just doesn't get it, and he's not willing to change. What do you see happening there?
That's an interesting question. There's really two ways that I've seen this dealt with very successfully. And right now, keep in mind, I'm talking about actual experience, things I've seen firsthand and that firms do. One of the things is they'll identify, you know, who these people are. Who are the people that are really pushing against this, including partners? And then they'll, you know, there's that saying, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Uh-huh.
They bring those people into the implementation team and say, okay, you know, what is it that you object to? How would you like to see it done? And then include their feedback in the overall implementation plan, giving them now ownership over the project or partial ownership.
So getting their buy-in early on.
Yeah. What's that?
So kind of making them a stakeholder or a key stakeholder early on.
Yeah, exactly. Making them a stakeholder. And then the other thing is, of course, you know, the carrot and stick approach. And this is, you know, this is sometimes hard for most firms to do because, you know, accounting firms don't really run like corporations where, you know, CEO calls the shots and from there on, you know, people need to implement things. A lot of times accounting firms run like a bunch of sole practitioners and, you know, you can't tell anyone what to do because, you know, they've got their own client base. But I'll tell you, if you're in that situation, it's very difficult to manage if no one will listen to you. And there's a book called Aligning the Stars, which talks about really the worst type of employee is someone that produces a lot, say a partner that produces a lot, but won't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, won't follow the organizational objectives. And, you know, that book says that every once in a while you need a public execution. You know, you need to show people that, you know, even a producer, their value isn't so great as to, you know, they can undermine our overall organizational objectives. And I've seen firms take some of their major projects that they're implementing and put it on their partner scorecard and even double weight it on their partner scorecard, meaning that when it comes time for the partner's compensation at their bonus at the end of the year, if they don't have this double weighted item marked off as that they supported it, it seriously impacts the compensation they get for the year.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. You know, we've talked about the importance of training, and training has to be, I mean, you got to get your staff trained, but, you know, oftentimes probably a lot of our staff think, hey, I'm pretty tech savvy. I don't need to be in that training. I'll figure this out on my own. So what do you see when, you know, when you go into a firm, how do they go about the training process to get everybody to sit through and really understand the training so they're all on the same page?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that we have done, you know, we used to go in the training that we used to do many years ago was, you know, here's all the features, and, you know, now you know where to click and access the features. But a lot of times, you know, that didn't resonate with the firm because they didn't plan to use many of those features in their workflow. Every firm still has some different needs. They're not going to use the same piece of software the same way. If you think about what tax software you use and the infinite number of features it probably has in the set that you use, you would understand what I'm talking about. And so what we do is we would sit down with a firm in kind of an implementation planning meeting and say, what is your desired workflow? What is your desired state? And then we will identify the features that they would use, and we would just train them on those features and on the workflow, as opposed to just doing a general training as to kind of all the features that are out there, something specialized into the workflow that they want to accomplish, and training on just the features that they need, and that's by role. So the training that a partner will get will likely be different than the training that a staff person will get, since they'll be, you know, using different features.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I often find, too, even in our own firm here, is, yeah, we got trained. We went with a new application. We got training, got it up and going. But, you know, in any SaaS application, for sure, you're constantly doing pretty nice updates because it's really easy to do. And yet people don't stay in tune with the changes.
Right.
So it seems to me like training on a regular basis, revisiting, you know, new features and things like that to get everybody to get those, that buy-in would be important as well.
Absolutely. Doing a refresher before each tax season, getting to know the new features, that's very important.
Yeah, I would think so too. Well, Dave, we're out of time today. Good discussion. I know you're an expert in change management, so I really appreciate your time with that today.
All right. Thanks, Darren. Great to be here with you again today.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.